Purdue Pharma's board meets today as it secures support for a deal over its role in the opioid crisis.
For months now, Purdue and other companies have been in settlement talks.
Plus, the European Central Bank meets today. We'll have more on what to expect.
ECB officials have been indicating that we are set for a package of measures.
And President Trump says he'll delay a planned tariff increase on Chinese goods by 2 weeks. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at just what's happening with Purdue Pharma's settlement talks, here's what you missed. President Trump said on Twitter late yesterday that the U.S. would delay, by 2 weeks, a tariff increase on Chinese goods that was set to go into effect on October 1st. He said the delay was a goodwill gesture made at the request of China. The tariffs were on $250 billion worth of primarily non-consumer items, and they're set to rise from 25% to 30%. This morning, China said it welcomed the tariff delay and that it hopes to work together with the U.S. to create favorable conditions ahead of trade talks in Washington early next month. And the Supreme Court said that the Trump administration can deny asylum to Central Americans who cross the southern border into the U.S. Now, this wasn't a full ruling, just a brief unsigned written order with no legal rationale. It essentially sets interim rules that will allow the administration to enforce its asylum restrictions while legal challenges to the policy continue. It means that lower court rulings that barred the administration's plans are now invalid. Just to refresh your memory, this is the Trump administration policy that says that refugees must seek asylum in a safe country they enter before they can be considered for asylum in the U.S. Critics say the rule effectively cuts off most asylum claims by people coming from El Salvador, Guatemala, or Honduras. And another landmark law passed California's legislature yesterday. This one doesn't have to do with Uber and Lyft, but with college athletes. By unanimous vote, California's Senate passed a law requiring colleges in the state to allow athletes to earn endorsement money. The NCAA wrote in a letter to California's Governor Gavin Newsom that it would ban California athletes from competition if he signed the bill. Now, our main story this morning. Purdue Pharma's board of directors is meeting today. Their meeting comes after we reported yesterday that they secured the support of 23 states and thousands of cities for a multi-billion dollar deal to resolve lawsuits over the role the company played in the opioid crisis. The deal would also see Purdue file for bankruptcy. J.R. Whalen has been finding out more from Jared Hopkins.
So, Jared, how long a process has this been for Purdue Pharma trying to get support from the states and local governments?
Yeah, so Purdue's lawyers have been in negotiations with lawyers representing thousands of cities and states for several weeks in an intensive mode, but for months now, Purdue and other companies have been in settlement talks.
And they've been fighting 2,500 lawsuits along the way?
They've begun building up, the lawsuits began building up in 2017 and have come across from cities, municipalities, counties, and nearly every state. And at least 20 states have actually sued the owners of Purdue Pharma individually, the Sackler family.
Now, Purdue Pharma is preparing to file bankruptcy as early as Sunday, and they're trying to line up support from more states.
Yeah, so basically, in a bankruptcy situation, or once there's a bankruptcy filing, having as much support allows or will allow the bankruptcy proceeding and process to move as quickly and as seamlessly as possible. We know that there are states that do not support this current settlement package that plan to litigate what's currently proposed by the company. There's a litany of reasons why some states are opposed to the current settlement proposal.
And that settlement package is between $10 and $12 billion, but that's sort of a variable number?
Well, yeah, so it's between $10 and $12 billion valuation by the company and the Sacklers. And what's baked into that is a $3 billion contribution from the Sackler family that could increase to potentially an additional $1.5 billion, depending on the sale of another one of its companies outside the United States. But then after that, what they plan to do is put some of their rescue drugs and other drugs in development and future sales, including of OxyContin, actually, into a entity that will develop and sell those drugs with the mindset or the mission of resolving the opioid crisis in what's called a public trust corporation. And the states that are opposed to this deal do not believe that the valuation is as high as the company and the family have projected it to be. So they believe that the settlement valuation of $10 to $12 billion is actually lower than that. Yeah.
And the settlement plan and the bankruptcy plan, part of that proposal is that the Sackler family would exit the company.
Basically, everything in the company or the IP, the drugs in development, OxyContin, that would all move into this new entity called a public trust corporation. And that would be then run by individuals, trustees appointed by the bankruptcy court. But the family then, by also selling an overseas drug company, they would essentially be severing themselves from prescription opioids altogether.
And these negotiations have been going on for months. This is a big step in this process.
Yeah. So Purdue, which developed and launched OxyContin, which was its signature drug in the mid-90s, and they have been in the spotlight, in the headlines for this opioid crisis litigation for a number of years now. And while lots of other companies are also facing these lawsuits, wholesalers and drug manufacturers and retail pharmacies, Purdue has really been in the spotlight over the last couple of years and in hot negotiations like this, intense negotiations. So this, even though about two dozen states are on board with this, not everybody, it does represent a major shift here in the opioid litigation crisis, which, is very complicated.
You can read Jared's article with Sarah Randazzo and our reporting on the outcome of that board meeting on WSJ.com. On to markets. Asian markets followed U.S. stocks mostly higher this morning in the wake of the tariff delay. But the big event investors will be paying attention to today is happening in Europe. That's where Mario Draghi, the outgoing head of Europe's central bank, is expected to unveil a new stimulus plan and a rate cut. From London, Avantika Chokhati has more.
So for a few weeks, top ECB officials have been indicating that we are set for a package of measures. Lots of banks have different views on what that means, but the consensus is that they will be cutting rates and perhaps restarting quantitative easing, the massive asset purchase program that we all remember from the global financial crisis. On top of that, there might be some tweaks in policy that will support the banking system in the region, which has really been hit by negative interest rates. It is Mario Draghi's penultimate meeting at the head of the ECB before he's expected to hand over to Christine Lagarde. It will be his last chance to really shape monetary policy in the region.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. We told you yesterday that Hong Kong Stock Exchange was looking to buy London Stock Exchange for just over $36 billion. Well, here's an update to that story. The UK government seems unlikely to approve the purchase. Why? Here's Anna Isaac in London.
So when we talk about the London Stock Exchange, we're talking about the whole group that comes with it. And that includes an arm that's responsible for something called clearing. This is a financial activity that's basically a way to deal with different financial tools that help hedge against different kinds of risk. And LCH, part of the London Stock Exchange group, has the lion's share of that activity. So it's a really big part of the international financial system. And so that makes it what's termed critical infrastructure in the UK. That means that it can affect financial stability. And the UK government, following the great financial crisis in 2008-09, had the powers to make interventions to block deals or even push them through if it believed there was a threat to financial stability. So that's what we could face here.
And we've got an exclusive report this morning. Groupon, the deal site you might have used to book a cheap manicure or a restaurant reservation, is looking for an acquisition. People familiar with the matter say that Groupon is pursuing a deal because shareholders are unhappy about its financial performance and stock price. One potential target in the coming weeks? Yelp. For now, both Yelp and Groupon are declining to comment. Finally, it's only Thursday, but it's never too soon to dream about vacation. And here at the Journal, we're fantasizing about a very specific type of trip, the one you take alone. There's a lot to love about solo traveling. You get to control where you go, what you do, and the pace of your trip. But it can be hard to find a good spot that's welcoming to solo travelers. That's why we're asking you for recommendations for places to travel alone. You can email us at whatsnews, all one word, at WSJ.com or tweet us at WSJ Podcasts. Your comments might be used in follow-up reporting by our audience team. That's What's News from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.